On January 27th, 1980, only 2 months before he was murdered, St. Oscar Romero of El Salvador referred to the gospel we hear today, the gospel that was just proclaimed. Archbishop Romero said, and I quote, "In the most sublime homily ever given, Christ closes the book and says, 'These things have been fulfilled today.'" And brothers and sisters, this is what a homily is. Saying that God's word isn't a reading about times past, but a living and spiritual word that is being fulfilled here, now, today. My friends, Archbishop Romero did this and died for it because he was doing what we hear Jesus doing in his hometown synagogue of Nazareth, helping people understand the today implications of the biblical word. Last Sunday, the gospel proclaimed how Jesus was approved by the people, but not for long. At first, the people react with amazement and praise Jesus' interpretation of the scriptures that Isaiah's revelation is fulfilled in their hearing. But then second thoughts enter their heads. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" They say they know Jesus and his family, at least they think they do. But all of a sudden, the mood changes. Jesus knows their hearts are not open to his message. They want instead Jesus to do a flashy miracle to show off his powers, not someone who would challenge them to live differently, to love unselfishly and wholeheartedly. And my friends, Jesus doesn't work miracles simply on demand, because miracles are an invitation to a deeper faith. But the folks in Nazareth aren't yet on the path of faith. So when Jesus tries to make the people face the truth and consequences of their own scriptures and his own ministry, his explanation doesn't go over very well. What Jesus says to the people changes their acceptance and excitement into anger and rejection toward him. Then Jesus rubs salt in the wounds by identifying himself with two of their favorite prophets, Elijah and Elisha, which infuriates the people even more. They ask the question often asked of anyone who dares to speak out for God, "Who do you think you are?" And Jesus faces such opposition that the people of the town try to kill him by throwing him off a cliff. But Jesus slips away. Brothers and sisters, what Jesus says to us in the Gospels and what he says to his followers isn't always comfortable. Jesus is always trying to stretch us, to extend our reach. And there's pain and even fear in us when that's done. And that's as true today as it were true back then. As our first reading from Jeremiah shows, prophets are seldom popular. Prophets tell hard truths and make people confront unpleasant realities. Prophets don't hire pollsters or commission focus groups. Their power and authority comes from God, not from popular opinion. It's generally true that real prophets seldom find acceptance among their own. For example, Dorothy Day's commitment to gospel nonviolence was long an embarrassment for the hierarchy. St. Oscar Romero was hated not simply because of his advocacy on behalf of the poor, but because he was seen as turning away from the upper classes, which felt the church was their own. And I think right now, my friends, we are very blessed in our church at this moment because of the prophetic ministry of our Holy Father, Pope Francis. These three people, I would say, are living embodiments of Paul's hymn to love. My friend, standing up for what is right, speaking out for such things as ethics and justice are the call of the prophet. To speak and to listen as a prophet demands courage and conviction to confront exactly who we are in our need for change and recreation in the love of God. Yes, there will be those who rise up and attempt to expel us from our own homeland, our own community. Some will push us to the edge of our capacity for love, attempting to provoke us to deny and denigrate the truth in exchange for acceptance. And just like Jeremiah before him, Jesus passed through the fear and the anger of others to his own truth and his own integrity. And today we are called to be those seekers of truth, both to listen with open hearts to the prophets among us and to speak the prophetic truth ourselves in our homes, in our workplaces, in our classrooms, in the marketplaces. The core of the gospel message is the revelation that God became one of us so that we can better understand who God is and grasp what God is about: love and forgiveness and compassion and justice and peace. As we read the list of love's characteristics in our second reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we realize just how countercultural love is. Our contemporary society doesn't encourage us to be patient or even kind. In fact, it admonishes us to seek out our own interest, to look out for number one. It applauds pomposity and ego inflation by making icons of movie stars, sports heroes, and musical artists. We then approve of this by unthinkingly paying tribute at their altars. Brothers and sisters, despite the fact that we all want and need love, it seems so difficult sometimes to give it. If we just stop for a moment and reflect, we might discover that the people we really admire the most are those who are indeed patient and kind, not jealous, not pompous, not inflated, not rude, not quick-tempered or brooding. They are people who genuinely love, people after whom we might want to model ourselves rather than make over. They are like those people. They are like Dorothy Day, St. Oscar Romero, and Pope Francis, who have discovered what love really means, what St. Paul calls the more excellent way. My friends, the message of Jesus, as we know, was that we have to love all people as we love ourselves, and God loves us. As we heard last week, we are the body of Christ, and through love we can extend ourselves to the hurting parts of the body and help heal them. And with love, we shall never fail. This is the gospel challenge. This is the challenge of St. Luke today. This is the good news. So, my friends, let us rejoice in it. Amen.